Good evening, everyone. My name is Jeffrey Combs. I'd like to welcome you to the Tuesday night More Heart Than Talent Mindset Call. This is a landmark call because the most exceptional woman, entrepreneur, mompreneur, human being that I've ever had the privilege of collaborating with and becoming best friends with, Susan Sly, is the guest on tonight's call. It's about three times a year that Susan is able to spend a little time on this call. Now, Susan is a world traveler, an absolute world-class human being. She will be the guest on tonight's call. Susan is warming up in the bullpen, and her content is absolutely going to be life-changing. And before I bring Susan on tonight's call, I'm going to cover a few quick announcements, and we'll move right into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. Tonight's call is being recorded, and you're also going to record it consciously and subconsciously and put into application the insight that Susan shares with you so you can create results and or prosperity. I'm the president and founder of Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I've been hosting this call for 17 plus years. So I'd like to welcome any and every one of you on tonight's call. If you're a first-time caller, welcome. This call is recorded and available on download podcast tomorrow at noon Pacific Standard Time, 3 o'clock Eastern Time at calls.goldenmastermind.com. This Saturday, I will be in Wilmington, Delaware, doing a one-day More Heart Than Talent event with my exceptional rock star, 22-year-old superstar, Meryl Yeeces. Meryl is a first-class woman, a coaching client of mine, and a woman who's absolutely leading the young people revolution. So that is Wilmington, Delaware, this Saturday, March 22nd. That event is generic. We have room for 120 people, and it is already standing room only. You can buy a ticket at the door for one Andrew Jackson, $20 cash. I also do take all credit cards at my website, goldenmastermind.com. March 29th, I'll be in Norwalk, Connecticut with my very good friend Drew Berman. April 5th, I'll be in Buffalo, New York. That's a great place for any Torontoan who wants to come down and see a More Heart Than Talent event. It's going to be a great opportunity. Carrie Rise, I know, is bringing an entire team from Buffalo or from Toronto, Canada area. April 12th, I'll be in the city of Brotherly Love, one of my favorite cities in the United States, with my good friend Joe DiBianca and all my Philadelphia exceptional superstars. April 19th, I will be in Boston, Massachusetts, which I must say has one of the best Little Italies in America. I'm partial to Little Italies. I know New York, Chicago has great ones, but Boston also has a great one. April 25th, I will be in Chicago, Illinois, another great restaurant and sports town. April 3rd, I just added to the roster today, Los Angeles, California. I was going to host a prospecting clinic on that day, but by popular demand, I have been requested to come to the City of Angels. I will repost the prospecting clinic at some point. I was going to do it on a Saturday, but I'll do it on a Monday night. May 9th and 10th, a landmark event, the Millionaire Blueprint with Susan Sly, Alexis Romano, a host of mompreneurs that are absolutely going to be stellar. I'm also going to have Chris Jarr for internet marketing and the great one and only John Assaraf, best-selling author of the book The Answer, featured prominently in the movie The Secret. May 17th, I just added Atlanta, Georgia to the books. May 31st, Columbia, South Carolina with Jennifer Trinkner and Bridget Bartley. June 7th, Alexis Romano is having me back in her hometown right there, Hoboken, New Jersey. The event itself will be in Weehawken with all of the exceptional people that Alexis has been able to develop in the last 3 years. People are becoming six-figure income earners in her team faster than, I mean, it's just astounding what's happening in network marketing and direct sales. June 21st, I'm going to be in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and June 28th, Pittsburgh, for the first time ever. So that is my speaking schedule for the next several months. If you would like me to speak in your city in July, please feel free to contact me at 209-932-0227, 209-932-0227. And with that, we will move into the inspirational portion of tonight's call. It is my unequivocal privilege to introduce to you one of the most exceptional human beings I've ever had the privilege of personally one-on-one coaching, sharing the stage with on many, many occasions. The woman I'm about to introduce has shared the stage with me with the great Jim Rohn on 4 different occasions, Mark Victor Hansen on 5 different occasions. She has shared the stage with me with the great John Assaraf on 2 different occasions and has been a keynote speaker at many, many events with me and for many, many other companies around the world. This woman is absolutely in demand. Who is this? This is Susan Sly. Susan is one of the highest paid women in direct sales and network marketing. And if you're ready to take your life and your enterprise, TNL, to the next level and achieve the success beyond some of your wildest dreams, you deserve to connect with Susan on tonight's call. Susan will be delivering some of the best content that she's ever created. I've had the privilege of seeing her speak many, many times. I've spent many dinners with her. I was Susan's coach for a little over 2 years early in her career, and it's my absolute privilege to bring to you mompreneur, philanthropist, first-class businesswoman, first-class human being. I'm also a great fan of her husband, Chris Arkevelt, and her children. Susan, good to have you on tonight's call.
Well, thank you, Jeffrey, so much for having me here, and I want to acknowledge everyone who's listening live, and of course, if you're listening in podcast anywhere around the world. So, Jeff, it is great to be here, and I know that obviously people are here because they want to get the goods, so let's jump right into it.
You know, Susan, well, I love to interview you because you are about results. And not only are you about results, but you understand a lot of the science about results and how to not only create results, but how to understand cause and effect that keeps us doing what we do. Now, Susan, I have the absolute privilege before we start. This is an homage to you because this is really the woman you are. I'm going to share an email you sent to me on March 15th, 2005, from your email, SusanSly@Simpatico.ca at 9:35 a.m. regarding a voicemail script. Dear Jeffrey, I was hoping you could have a look at that voicemail script. I'm always open to your suggestions. I had my first $850 U.S. day yesterday. That is $1,000 Canadian. Yay, baby. I called the Rob Report and got the rate. I'm also going to do other forms of advertising. I hear the baby's heartbeat yesterday, created a huge clearing. Thank you as always, your loving friend, Susan Sly. Susan, March 15th, 2005, your first $850 day. That was 9 years ago, Susan.
Wow. It's amazing to hear those words. And you know what, Jeffrey, one of the biggest things is really that level of coachability, and that hasn't changed even to this day. And thank you for saving that email. My gosh,
Susan, you know what that means? That means that I was coaching you when you had 2 children. You had your 3rd child on the way. That was March 2005. Chris was an accountant at that point. You were a full-time network marketer. You were starting to create your first $10,000 weeks. I mean, that was just around the corner. It happened relatively quickly. The company that you was representing was relatively new, a startup company. The whole face of network marketing and direct sales was different. There was no internet was not really what it is today. Websites were not what they were today. There was no social media. You were buying leads from cutting edge media and other lead sources. You were buying 10-cent leads and dollar leads. You were doing what the business required. So you absolutely led by example, and I just wanted to share with the folks that I was there in the early career of Susan Sly, and even earlier than that, I met you back in 2001 by a mutual friend of ours, exceptional woman Deborah Kay. So, Susan, I know you have great content tonight, and I know you wanted to discuss willpower and really go into the depth of what is required to create that transformation to overcome the anxieties, overcome controlling control and addictions, to be able to come to that, become that businesswoman and business owner that the folks on tonight's call deserve to become.
For sure. And Jeffrey, I want to thank you humbly. I mean, you know, for 17 years, you've been giving of yourself doing this call weekly. People have the benefit to learn from you. And I first heard you on a Cutting Edge Media call when you were doing a training call. And unlike anyone else I heard, there was something about not just what you said, it's how you said what you said, and that you had been there and done that and overcome the pain and gone into the gap. And that's where I want to go tonight and just get real with all the folks listening in, because here's the reality, and I know Jeff is going to contribute to this as well. I was meditating this morning on what we were going to be talking about, and you know, at the end, I'm not going to be selling anything. It's just tonight I want you to really focus in, take notes, and just get deep and honest with yourself. And here's the reality, guys, that you're never going to achieve success if you feel sorry for yourself, if you're not willing to push through the pain, if you don't stop wishing it was easier for you, if you don't stop being the victim. And the truth is that life is going to throw you some curves. And statistics show that it's not just going to be one thing that happens. It's going to be multiple crises. And if we look at some of the things that are going on all around the world, in the United States, Canada, Australia, I know there are people listening in tonight from Africa on our Facebook fan page. We have a lot of network marketers actually from Nigeria and different places around the world, that we look at, say, the illness rate. You know, one out of two people is going to get cancer. My daughter Avery, her best friend Jeffrey, 17 years old, was diagnosed with leukemia last fall. She had a bone marrow transplant in November. She's down to 90 pounds, has a PICC line and a feeding tube. And last year at this time, she was a star basketball player and volunteering at our church. We also see families breaking apart. The divorce rate is one out of two for first-time marriages. It's three out of four for second and third-time marriages. We see Gen Y unemployment is the highest, and I know a lot of people listening in are in that 18 to 35 age group, and you guys want to listen in especially because guess what? It is going to amplify, and right now in Australia, Canada, and the U.S., the Gen Y unemployment rate is about 30%, and then on top of it, parents, I know lots of parents, myself included, have children with ADD, autism, ADHD, and you're not just going to have one thing happening to you. When Jeffrey was at the bottom of the bottom, and I want to, Jeff, I want to throw it to you here just for a moment. It wasn't just the addiction. I mean, you lost everything. It wasn't just one thing going on. Could you share a little bit about that?
Absolutely, Susan. I lost everything. Most importantly, I lost my dignity. I was relegated to living on my parents' couch. I spent 6 months in L.A. County Jail and ended up on the streets of Santa Monica, California, calling my mom to come get me. I had $20 to my name, and I spent $19.75 of it in a bar called the Muskrat, right up on on Ocean Boulevard, at the cross streets right there at Santa Monica Boulevard and Ocean. My mom came and got me, and I was relegated to moving to my parents' house, and I had a backpack, a pair of jeans, a pair of Converse tennis shoes, a T-shirt, and a leather jacket. That's what I had left to my name. At 31 years old, at 25, I was $250,000 income earner. I had a Mercedes, a BMW, and I lost virtually everything I had to my name, especially my dignity. I drank myself to rock bottom for the next 9 months before I eventually started having a syndrome called delirium tremors. It's an alcoholic seizure, and that's when the pain became great enough. That was December 17th, 1987. And that was one of a few rock bottoms I went to get to the middle. Getting to the top is overrated. If you can find the middle, that's where your objective. That's where you can actually start to clear the anxiety that keeps you doing the same thing over and over. And, Susan, I had been a big deal chaser, big hat, no cattle. I had talked big and couldn't back it up. And I learned that I had to get humble. And I spent the next 12 months pouring coffee at AA meetings. And I'd never been so grateful just to be able to pour coffee and go to a group of people that I could connect with. That 1 year of sobriety grounded me. I re-entered Free Enterprise full-time relatively soon after that. It was definitely not an overnight success, and have been building enterprises ever since in direct sales, network marketing, my speaking, writing, and coaching career. And what I really learned is that, you know, being successful is overrated in many ways, but getting your self-esteem is underrated, because you can't really you can't really enjoy success without self-esteem. And I had been successful in increments, but I never really knew how to receive success. And that was a real breakthrough for me, was because I would become successful and I'd have so much anxiety about, number one, how I'm going to keep it. Number two, what was going to happen the next day? And I'd be so overwhelmed that I'd have to have some kind of sedative, amphetamine, barbiturate, or some kind of alcohol derivative to take the edge on, to put the edge off. And so I started to learn through personal development NLP techniques through the great Tony Robbins. I started to read neuro-linguistic programming, and I also started to read neuroscience. I studied John Bradshaw, Louise Hay, and I not only became a student, but I started to become a producer. I'd been a talker, not a producer. I'd been a poser, not a closer. And so I really learned how to humble up and shut up and produce, and it started to happen for me, Susan.
And I hope everyone listening gets this. It just proves the integrity that Jeff has. And the reality is, when Jeff was going through all of this, he didn't just say, you know what, I'm a victim, or poor me, or, you know, I'm just going to handle one of these problems and push the rest of them under the rug. He dealt with it all at one time. And that's what we're going to get into tonight, is what happens when you've got a lot of different things going on. In my network marketing and direct sales career, people could look at it and go, you know, gosh, Susan, you made $10 million. You have this amazing husband, and, you know, you guys travel the world. I mean, this year alone, we've been to Bali, and we just got back from Hawaii. We just, you know, we love it there. I do a lot with philanthropy, as Jeffrey mentioned. And you could look at all of that and say, oh, it's easy for her. Well, I want to share a little bit of my journey from a different place. And maybe you're a bit familiar with my story. You're not familiar with it at all. And just to go in tandem with what Jeffrey is talking about, is that if you're always striving for success, if you're you know, so bent that you're going to be a million-dollar earner at all costs, guess what? It's going to cost you. And it really starts with getting right with you.
So true.
Thank you for that. When I was January 13th of 2000, I was diagnosed with progressive multiple sclerosis. And just so everyone really understands, whatever is suppressed is going to be expressed. You can't be a little bit alcoholic, you're alcoholic or you're not. I was symptomatic prior to, but I just kept pushing it down. I would be teaching. I was a professor of nutrition. I just dropped the chalk. I would drop my car keys. I'd start slurring my speech. It was like I was drinking in the middle of the day. And if you know anyone with MS, it's very tough to enunciate words. Even as I'm speaking tonight, it's approaching 11 o'clock my time. I'm 14 years into my diagnosis, and I have to be very deliberate with my pronunciation because I still have the disease. And here's the thing. I just ignored it. I thought I was superwoman. I owned a health club at the time. I was married. I had a little girl. She was 2 years old. And I would just push it. I would get up early in the morning. I would teach a fitness class. I had 50 employees. I'd work until late at night. I was also on the radio. I was on television. I was writing magazine articles. And I was teaching nutrition at the college level. So in doing all of these things, I wasn't the have-it-all woman. I was the do-it-all woman. It was really about proving, and I thought if I was good enough, if I was pretty enough, if I was fit enough, my husband would stay in love with me. People would like me. I'd be accepted. You see, I had abandonment issues, and that showed up because, you know what? I chose to ignore it, and I lost everything. When I was diagnosed, my doctor, his name was Ross, he held up the film of my brain. And I want you to imagine a fishbowl full of fish, and that's what it looks like. My brain was full of lesions. I was 27 years old. I was a professional triathlete. I was sponsored by Oakley and DeSoto. I was on that meteoric rise. Back in those days, I could run a 5K in about 17 and a half minutes. I was fast, and I was getting faster and faster. And when I was struck down, I ended up getting sicker and sicker and sicker. My thyroid burned out. My adrenals burned out. I got shingles. I had 3 to 4 shingles for every square inch of my body. And in fact, I had them on my lung tissue too. My lungs still have shingle scars. I don't know if Jeffrey even knows that. And from there, I lost my business, my marriage fell apart, and I ended up living on my brother-in-law's sofa. I had $300 in cash, and I was a single mom. And that was only 14 years ago. And I'm going to tell you guys, I was angry, and I felt I was mad at the world. I felt humiliated. I felt like I had been dealt the worst blow. I felt so sorry for myself. And that lasted for about 3 days. But there was a part of me, just like there's a part of each and every one of you, and you may be going through financial challenges, your marriage may be on the edge, you may be having a struggle with your child, whatever it is, but there's a part of you. You wouldn't be here tonight if there wasn't a part of you that somewhere believed that you could do this. And I've prepared 10 specific tips that I want you to take note of. And there are lots of champions that you can use as an example. Jeffrey is one of my champions. Not only is he my best friend, when I'm going through a wall-kicking moment, I think about Jeff and his strength and his tenacity. And Jeffrey and I have a mutual friend. Her name is Dottie Lassard. Dottie is one of my sheroes. I wrote about her in my book, The Have It All Woman. Dottie has, you know, been told from the time she was 2, she wouldn't live another year. She flatlined on the table during an organ transplant. She was one of the first people in America to have a double lung transplant. She has cystic fibrosis. It would be like breathing underwater all of the time. This woman went on to become an athlete, a mom, and defying the odds. And here's the thing, guys. Whatever you've got going on, you have to know. And you have to believe that you can get through it. And if you're going to be successful, you know, obviously you're here because you're in network marketing, direct sales, entrepreneurship. You have to stop wishing it was easier. You want to wish you were better. Don't wish that a magic fairy would appear out of the sky and take your problems away. You have to roll up your sleeves and dig in, take responsibility, and deal with what you've been dealt. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, the real things that you need to do to transcend. So, Jeffrey, I'm excited.
Susan, the call is absolutely yours. Go ahead and give them the 10 tips because they deserve to receive what you have. And, Susan, you are the most remarkable human being I've ever met.
Well, thank you so much, Jeffrey. Well, the first tip is really what Jeffrey talked about. It's taking responsibility. When Jeff was an alcoholic and I grew up with an addicted mom, you know, addicts don't tend to take responsibility. They're not going to take responsibility until either they're forced to or they just make a choice. And when Jeffrey was at the bottom and, you know, basically checked out for several days after drinking, what was a gallon of vodka, Jeff? You knew.
A gallon a day at the end of my drinking career, not Stolichnaya, not Finlandia, Popov, $8 a gallon. And the biggest challenge I had was trying to remember where I bought the day before. That's what I would try and control, and remember, and couldn't remember it.
And that's, I mean, when you think about that, like, I can't even drink an ounce of vodka. But Jeffrey had to take responsibility. When I was diagnosed with MS, I was told by doctors that I would be in a wheelchair in 10 years and I would be dead in 20. And you know what? Here's the thing. I knew it was up to me. I had to take 100% responsibility. The thought of being in a wheelchair by the age of 37 scared the heck out of me. I'm going to be honest. I mean, can you imagine? And that taking responsibility meant that I knew no one was going to save me. And at the bottom of my barrel, I called my dad. And I said, Dad, I'm exhausted. I just need to go to the hospital. I need to be on an IV. I can't even function right now. I caught my husband having an affair 3 days after I was diagnosed. And you know what my dad said to me? He said, Susan, suck it up. He said, toughen up. I am not coming to rescue you. And I know some of you are like, oh. See, my dad is a very traditional Chinese dad, and he's not an enabler. I mean, he may be a lot of things. I was raised by my dad, but he wasn't going to enable me, and he knew that if he didn't challenge me, I wasn't going to fight. You have to fight for your life. You have to be the one. No one is going to rescue you. You take responsibility for whatever is going on, because here's the tough thing to swallow. Whatever you have going on in your life, you got to that place by the choices you make. And in network marketing, direct sales, I encounter a lot of people who won't take responsibility
I have people who won't go on auto ship and then blame me for their lack of results. They won't go to meetings. They won't get on calls. They won't make calls. And then they say, it's Susan's fault that I'm not getting results. Well, you know what? If it's meant to be, it's up to me. That needs to be your motto. I know people who've made hundreds of millions of dollars, and it's because they take responsibility. My friend right now is running for the governorship of Arizona. She was one of the founders of GoDaddy. Her name is Christine Jones. She's a remarkable woman, and she didn't like some of the things that were happening in her home state. So you know what? She's running for office. She's taking responsibility. So ask yourself, and some of you may say, Susan, this is so harsh. You know what, guys? It's not meant to be nasty. It's meant to be done in love. I want to see you all succeed. I want to see you thrive wherever, whatever company you're in, whatever you're doing. Take responsibility. Whatever's in your bank account, whatever your health report is, whatever's going on in your marriage. A friend of mine said to me, you know, Chris and I have been married for 10 years. We've been together for 14. We've known each other for 28 years. We went to high school together. Our dads went to high school together. And we've had our ups and downs. We both coached with Jeff. And, you know, Chris and I have had arguments. And a friend of mine, a dad of four, he's an NLP master trainer, he said, Susan, I want you to work at your marriage as though it's 100% up to you. And I was like, oh, what? But, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I got it. I got it. And the more I took responsibility for the success of our marriage, because divorce isn't an option, the better our marriage became. The more I took responsibility for my health, the better my health became. The more Jeffrey took responsibility for his sobriety, the more sober he became. And the thing I want everyone to understand about Jeffrey is he decided to get sober, and he did not fall off the wagon. And that takes a lot of guts, but that takes 100% responsibility. Jeff and I also have a mutual friend. His name is Jimmy, and Jimmy has been sober for, I believe it's 25 or 26 years. And, you know, there's Sunday afternoon football and beers and different things happening in his house, but he's never once fallen off the wagon. And that, again, takes a lot of courage. And if that's you listening, and whether you've been sober one day or sober 5 years or 17 years or 25 years, you know, kudos to you, because you're taking responsibility. Number two is refuse to wear the scarlet letter. You see, so often we want to identify ourselves by our dis-ease, as Louise Hay says, so I have MS, or I have fibromyalgia, or I'm divorced, or I've been bankrupt, or whatever it is. That's your scarlet letter. When Nathaniel Hawthorne wrote the book, The Scarlet Letter, Hester Prynne had to wear the scarlet A for adulterer. You don't have to do that. It's 2014. You don't have to say, oh, I'm divorced. Start to say, I'm single. Instead of saying, I'm bankrupt or I have no money, say, I'm in the process of creating my financial freedom. You need to speak it into the existence. I've helped a lot of people release 50 pounds, 100 pounds. I myself used to be over 200 pounds. And here's the thing. Don't take on the scarlet letter. Oh, but Susie, you don't understand. I have bad genetics. I have this. I have that. If, as long as you're owning it, you're going to live into it. And I'm going to say that again. Write this down. As long as I own it, I am going to live into it. And you've got to stop. When my marriage fell apart with my former husband, I didn't say, I'm divorced, I've got MS, I'm bankrupt, I'm a single mom, I'm homeless. Those were all of the scarlet letters that I could have chosen to wear. Instead, I said, you know what? I'm single. I'm in the process of creating the life that I want to create. I've been given this new opportunity, a clean slate, because let me tell you, and Jeff will tell you, when you lose everything, you can look at that as a burden, or you can look at it as a gift. It's a gift that you can create something new for yourself. The third thing is, you're going to have to work for it. And we talked about this. Don't wish it was easier. When Jeff, I interviewed Jeff for my podcast series, and you can find me on iTunes. And Jeffrey talked about getting sober, and he used exercise, sweat equity, and he really, Jeff, how many hours a day were you exercising?
3 hours a day, just to put the fire out. I had aspirations to be a professional masters racquetball player, age 40, and I dedicated several years to it and never achieved that dream because I gave it up to be a full-time network marketer. But I trained 3 hours a day, 7 days a week for about 7 years.
How powerful is that? Because, you see, when you're an addict, and Jeff and I believe, and this is going to be shocking to everyone, that everyone is addicted to something, whether you're addicted to sugar or sex or alcohol or recreational drugs or, you know, production or lack of production, apathy, self-flagellation, whatever it is, that guess what? In order to turn it around, you're going to have to work for it. And you may be exhausted. I know some of the women on this call right now, your cortisol levels are high. You're exhausted. You're going to wake up between 2 and 4 in the morning and you're going to be, you know, have to run to the bathroom because your adrenals are firing. You're like, Susan, I don't have anything left. Well, my friends, you're going to have to dig deeper. When I was exhausted, when I was sick, at my lowest point in 2003, I didn't have bladder control. I would speak to people in the day, and it, you know, if I was speaking to someone and they'd say, hi, Susan, how are you? I'd say, hi, how are you? And I have a friend right now, and he has MS, and he's my age, and he's a dad of 2 little kids, and I'm watching him deteriorate every single week, and it's awful. Chris watched me fall down. He watched me get up in the night, and I'd scratch my legs because of the neuropathy, and I couldn't feel them, and I'd start slapping them. Chris watched me literally just, you know, shake with anger because I was so frustrated. But you know what? At that point of exhaustion where I felt I had nothing left, here's where we become human beings. Here's where we live into our God-given potential. It's in that place beyond the exhaustion, beyond the pain. That's the place. You know, when I run marathons, I'm about to do my 5th Boston Marathon, and I'm going to confess, guys, my training has not been going well this year. I've had a lot of travel. That's normal, whatever. But after last year's Boston, when I was there during the bombing and I witnessed the bombing, I actually didn't feel well for about 8 weeks. Training for this year's Boston, I've had a couple of challenges. I'm working with my chiropractor, my doctor, and I'm going to do it just for the fun of it. This will be my 5th Boston. I'm not putting pressure on myself like Jeffrey talks about. I used to be really good at that. I'm doing it for the experience, just me and 30,000 other people running 26 miles to that end on, you know, on Copley Square, you know, where you finished on Boylston. And you know what? I have to work for it. This morning, I did 5 miles of interval training and I didn't feel like it, but I did it anyway. On Sunday, I ran 20 miles and it was -6 here in Canada and I didn't feel like it, but I did it anyway. In network marketing, you're going to have to make the calls even if you don't feel like it. You're going to have to do the follow-ups when you don't feel like it. And Jeffrey says this, and write this down, you're going to have to make up in time what you lack in results. And that means that you might have to make 30, 40 calls a night to get maybe 3 or 4 appointments to end up with 2 to 4 signups a week. And eventually you're going to get better. You're going to get on these calls. You're going to learn the techniques, but you're going to have to work for it. When I was coming through this 2003 period, I was introduced to a network marketing company. I scheduled 2 hours a night, and I worked in the day at a charity. That was all I could do at the time. Chris was working as an accountant. Our kids were 5 and 1. I'd put them to bed. I was exhausted, but I'd get on the phone. And if you heard my voice, and I'd be standing up, all the techniques I learned from Jeffrey, I'd be standing up. I'd be prospecting. I had my list. People rejected me. You know, my first list, I had 75 people. Only 3 said yes. But in 10 months, I got to $10,000 a month. And you know what? Maybe that's not that fast, but here's the thing. Those results were enough to change my life, to allow me to go pro, to become a full-time network marketer. In 3 years, I made my first million. Even today, Jeffrey will tell you I'm one of the most organized, disciplined, dedicated moms he knows. Right now, we have 5 kids living in our house. We just took in Avery's good friend. So I have a 4-year-old, an 8-year-old, an 11-year-old, a 16-year-old, and a 17-year-old living with me. We drive the kids to lessons, to music, to dance, to you name it, we do it. We have teachers' meetings. And plus, I have an organization of about 180,000 people all around the world. And you know what? It takes work to do that. So don't wish it's just going to come to you. In fact, 98% of lottery winners lose the money within the first 2 years. 98% of people who lose weight gain it back. You know why? Because they're not willing to work to get it, and they're not willing to work to maintain the results. Number 4, people are going to be jealous. There are going to be people who criticize you. They're going to be people who don't, you know, they resent your success. And I've had it, and Jeffrey's had it. And, you know, Jeffrey and I will talk about it. It's just quite interesting. You know, people to say, you know, like the person I was exemplifying who wouldn't even go on autoship in 3 years ordered products twice, yet blame me for their lack of results. In any compensation plan in network marketing, there's a degree of a monthly fulfillment. You're wondering why you're not getting paid, but you're not willing to use the products yourself. I mean, it's just crazy. But people are going to be jealous. And I learned from Jeffrey back in 2000, the first time I heard him on a call, you be right, I'll be rich. That has been my mantra for 14 years. And if you're in health and wellness, it's like, you be fat, I'll be lean. You know, whatever it is you need to say, you be negative and you be nasty and I'll be happy, whatever it is. But here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing. If you pay attention to the naysayers and the people who are jealous and judgmental, that's going to destroy you. That's like a cancer for your soul. Here's the thing. Anyone who's hurtful is someone who's hurting themselves. And at the end of the day, I'm a Christian, you know, whatever it is you choose to believe, bless them. Just bless them. Pray for them. Let them go. And you know what? If you dwell there, then it's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your business. And every person I know, do you think Steve Jobs didn't have his critics? Do you think that Mother Teresa had critics? Oh my gosh, you know, what an incredible person she was. Every person, even Christ, had critics. So do you think you're above reproach? No. So because your friend, your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother thinks you're crazy for being in network marketing, you got to get a thick skin, my friends, and focus on the people who show up in your rooms. Focus on the people who show up on the calls, not the ones that didn't. You have to focus on the ones who are there because they're the ones who are going to take you to the promised land. The fifth thing is about creating a plan. In order to overcome any challenge, you've got to have a team of advisors. You can't be the island. So a great person that I can think of is my friend Molly Sheridan. She is the only American woman ever to run, it's called La Ultra High. It is a race across the Himalayas, if you can imagine. And Molly's an ultra marathoner. She's in her 50s. She resides in Nevada. And this woman was sent letters by the Indian government and told, a woman cannot finish this race. We don't want you to come. She actually went to the start line. She went via another country. But you know what she did? She got a team. She had a doctor. She had training partners. She had a support team. And she said, I am going to do this. I'm not going to just do this for myself, but I'm going to do this for women everywhere who've been told they can't do something. And she got a training plan, and she stuck with it. She got a racing plan, and she stuck with it. And as a result, not only is she the only American woman ever to finish, she's one of the only women in the world to ever finish that race. Whatever it is that you want to do to transcend whatever it is you're going through, you've got to create a plan and stick with it. If you're upside down in debt, what is your plan? How many calls are you going to make a day? How many follow-ups are you going to make a day? How many live presentations are you going to do? What is it that you're going to do? And if you're creating a plan all by yourself and you've never been successful, you're delusional. And I say that with love. You've got to get a team of advisors. And this leads me to number six. You've got to be coachable. If you're not coachable, it's your ego. And ego, as Dr. Wayne Dyer says, stands for edging God out. So when I decided I wanted to be a millionaire in network marketing, I had never been a millionaire in network marketing. When I was 24, I was a millionaire on paper. I owned a health club. I had assets that were worth $1 million. I sought out a coach who had been a millionaire in network marketing, Jeffrey Combs. On my first coaching call, I said to Jeffrey, he said, what do you want to do? I said, I want to be a millionaire. He said, you're going to do it. You have that fire, Susan, but you're not going to be happy. It's going to be empty victories. And what if you could do it with peace? And I started crying, of course, right? So here's the thing. You've got to be coachable. If there's something in your life that you want, then you've got to be willing to surrender to people who have done it before you. And if these people share your values and your ethics, then don't butt them. Don't get on the phone with them and start spewing your drama. Listen to what they have to say. I have people who say to me, can I book some time with you? I want to be successful. And we get on the phone and I say, look, I have 15 minutes. Let's get to it. And they start telling me about everything that's wrong in their life. And the next thing you know, it's 8 minutes into the call. They haven't asked me what books to read. They haven't asked me how to schedule their time. They haven't asked me anything. If you have a millionaire, a millionaireess, if you have someone who's transcended illness, divorce, bankruptcy, whatever it is, and they're willing to give you advice, then you duct tape it, my friends, and you listen. I went to people to get out of these situations. I sought out people who had transcended illness. You know, I'm 4 years past my wheelchair date. Thank you very much. I sought out naturopaths and homeopaths. naturopaths and holistic practitioners. I surrounded myself with people who told me that I could survive. I have a friend. Her name is Marla. She lives in Colorado. She might be listening tonight. Marla just came through stage 4 cancer, and she said to me, and she's eaten organic her entire life. She had a root canal, and soon after that, she got stage 4 throat cancer. And she's an amazing woman. She said, "Susan, I fired every doctor who told me that I wouldn't survive, and I fired every doctor who told me that my holistic health plan wouldn't work." You see, you have to be coachable to the people who are telling you you can. You have to be coachable to the people who are giving you the advice, because it's like Jeffrey, they're coming from a place where they have done it before and they have transcended. And, you know, Chris and I, we come from, I'm the child of double divorce. Both my parents have been divorced twice. Chris's parents, God bless them, they've been married for a lot of years, but didn't have that loving, warm relationship. So Chris and I actually sought out the counsel of couples that we admire. Jeffrey and I have a mutual friend. She and her husband have been married for over 30 years. They have a very loving relationship. They're extremely healthy. They have a son who's in his 20s, and they have a happy marriage. I've stayed in their house. I've traveled all the world with them, and I ask them questions. Do you guys ever fight? How do you overcome it? You know, how do you schedule in time for one another? I went to people I knew who had been married 20, 30, 40 years who had happy marriages, and I asked them how they did it. Get coachable. Be willing to surrender. Follow people on Facebook who have done it, who are willing to talk about the challenges, not just sugarcoat them. I see people in companies all the time going, "Wow, I got to $250,000 a year and I don't even know how I did it." Follow the people who tell you how to overcome the challenges, overcome the objections, overcome the wall-kicking moments, because they're the people who are willing to be honest with you, because everyone has them. Don't think they don't. They do. The seventh thing is be willing to treat other people the way you want to be treated. You see, I see a lot of people, and social media has really changed the landscape. People cannot hide anymore. So if you're a person on social media and you're sharing positive quote cards and you're, you know, on there and you're sharing, you know, all this beautiful wisdom, and then you go on someone's blog and you make a negative comment, or you comment about someone on Facebook and it's quite negative, guess what? In your people, when they search you, they're going to see both sides of you, your Jekyll and your Hyde. And I'm not saying that people all don't have those moments when they're thinking critical thoughts or whatever, but don't take them to social media. Learn to see people for the beauty they are. Learn to have empathy with people. One of the things I learned from Jeffrey is this: when someone rubs you the wrong way, you want to begin to say, what is it about that person that reminds me about something that's not right about me? When you have the desire to really, you know, be a person who is judging others, then guess what? That's going to come back at you. You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. We're constantly creating karma in our lifetime. So if you want more love, be more loving. And at first it may be really hard, but you've got to do it. If you want people to listen to you, you've got to become a better listener. If you feel that people don't accept you, you've kind of broaden your scope and become more accepting of people. You see, that's what the law of attraction really is about. Like attracts like. It's one of the most fundamental laws in science in the universe. Number 8 is never, never, and let me emphasize this again, never, ever complain. Whatever we complain about, we get more of. And when Avery was 5 years old, I was in my network marketing career in a different company, and I got off the phone and I was so frustrated. And back in those days, Chris and I had a little apartment and my office was in a closet. It was. And the closet was about 3 by 4 feet, and I had this little table in this closet, and I had bought it at a flea market, and I had this big old Dell computer. It made all this noise, like, you know, remember those old computers we had, a big monitor. And when I was in there, you know, I was listening to my cutting-edge calls, and I was calling my cutting-edge leads, and I, you know, calling. You might as well have thought I was in Trump Tower. I'd walk around in my apartment. It could be 100 degrees. I had no air conditioning, and I'd wear high-heel shoes because I had heard, you know, that would give me more posture on the phone. And here's the thing. So one night I get really frustrated, and I just want to throw the phone. And Avery goes, "Mommy, what's wrong?" And I said, "That person was complaining. They were complaining. They were complaining about the product, about the business." And she said, "You know what, Mommy?" I said, "What?" She said, "When people complain, God makes them go back and learn the lesson all over again." And I went, "Oh, Wow. Okay. And I'll never forget that. Avery's 17 now. She's so wise. So here's the thing. Ask yourself what some of the challenges are that you've had in the last few days, or and some of the things that are really worrying and frustrating to you. You know, maybe it's finances, health, whatever it is, things not going right in your business, no one's calling you back, no one's enrolling, whatever the case is. And then ask yourself how often you're thinking about what you're not getting. And then ask yourself how often you're complaining about those things. I was on the phone with someone not that long ago, and they said, no one's signing up, no one's calling me back, no one's this. This is the beginning of the call. And I said, isn't that interesting? That's the thing you're worried about the most, and that's the thing you're talking about the most. And they said, well, it's okay to tell you because you're my upline and I can complain up. And I said, no, you can't, sweetheart. You just can't complain. You see, whatever we're spending more energy on, we're putting our attention on, and whatever we put our attention on is our intention to return. So don't complain. If you feel that you've got to let loose, have a trusted friend or your partner who you can say, you know what, I just need to vent for 2 minutes. And it could be something going on with your life. It was not that long ago. Jeff's my best friend. And I called Jeff and I said, I have this business situation. I just need to vent for 2 minutes. And Jeff's like, baby, let it rip. You know, he just listened for 2 minutes, you know, and we have that kind of relationship. So if you have one person in your life, you're not spending a lot of time, people's time is valuable, it's 60 seconds, 1 minute, let it go, let it rip, and then just be done with it because it will tear you up. Stop your complaining because, you know, people can't stand complainers. You send that energy out and people feel it. The next thing is, this comes from Proverbs, wisdom shall be known by her children. If you're in network marketing and you're complaining, and you know, Jeff, you'll laugh because you get clients and people are like, oh, you know, my business isn't growing, I'm not making any money. Well, in network marketing, wisdom shall be known by her children, which fundamentally means, guys, that if your problem, your big, you know, monkey on your back is your income, that means no one under you is making money either. And instead of focusing on what you're not getting, roll up your sleeves and start creating a different level of production. I didn't get to the income that I have just by the my own efforts. I had to produce a lot of people in my organization who were successful. So, you know, as our income begins to approach $2 million a year, it's because of the virtue of we've produced 12 millionaires and dozens of six-figure income earners out of our organization. And so for me, it's not saying this is all of the money I make and it's great. It's I want to tell you stories of the people who are producing, and I want to see people win. And if someone in my organization passes me an income, then I'm going to be the first one to cheer them on. I'm going to send them flowers. I'm going to take them to dinner. Why? Because again, wisdom shall be known by her children. And if you're in network marketing and direct sales and your offspring is not producing, that's what I need you to focus on tonight and tomorrow, is you get in there, you call them up, you say, how can I assist you? How badly do you want it? How organized? Let's run together. I want to help you get paid. I want to see you succeed. You have to match energy with people who match energy. So circling back to the person who wouldn't even be on autoship, there is only so much that I can do with that. If you want to have prosperity, you've got to contribute to prosperity. That's what one of my mentors said. And the last thing is this. You've got to focus on what you are going to and not what you are going through. This comes from Joel Osteen. So visualize your goal outcome. How do you want it to be? If you're in the midst of a lawsuit, think about what outcome you desire. How can it be peacefully rectified? If you're having a conflict with someone, what would be the mutually beneficial way to resolve it? If your child is struggling, then envision them striving. If you're in debt, visualize abundance. When I was in debt, every single day, I visualized my credit cards at a zero balance. I visualized debts at zero. I visualized having a six-figure bank account. I remember the first time Jeffrey said, how many of you would like a six-figure bank account? And I was like, oh, a six-figure bank account. Oh my gosh, right? And I visualized it. And you've heard, you know, in the movie The Secret and in the Bible, and so often if you can go there in the mind, you can go there in the body. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door shall be open to you. So guys, here's the thing. How often are you visualizing? Jeffrey and I have a friend, and this person is a legend in network marketing, and he has a ton of respect for Jeffrey. And you know what? He went into a new company many years ago, and he made a list of 80 people. And these people he really wanted in his organization. conversation. And every morning he woke up and he'd spend 5 minutes just visualizing these people in his organization every single day. And it didn't happen overnight. It took 4 years, but eventually in 4 years, every single one of these people came in. And that's one of the pieces of wisdom he imparted to me is before you make your calls in the morning, before you do anything, is just take 5 minutes and visualize what you want. Visualize the level of income. Visualize the people coming in. Who do they look like? What do they talk like? What background are they from? And if your health is in a challenge, you know, with MS, I visualized myself running. I had never run a marathon before I was diagnosed with MS. When I did the Ironman triathlon, which has a marathon at the end of it, I had been diagnosed with MS for a year. And you've got to visualize that. And I want to finish with this final story, and then I'm going to throw it back to Jeff, is that in 2001, I had still had a dream that was unrealized, and the MS was really progressing quite rapidly. And my dream had been a top 10 finish in the pro division of the Ironman triathlon. And the Ironman triathlon is a 2.2-mile swim, 112-mile bike, followed by a 26.2-mile run. And the reality was that, you know, I was having numbness and tingling. I was having a lot of pain. And training for the Ironman was really some days 6 to 8 hours of training. And I kept dreaming about this and dreaming about this and envisioning myself in this top 10 finish. And I entered the Ironman in Malaysia, and it was January of 2001 that the race would start, and it was 13 days before the race. And I was in my little apartment with Chris, and I was on my bike. And the bike was on a trainer, and I was doing a 5-hour bike training. And it was about minus 30 degrees Celsius outside, so I was inside, obviously. And the bolt came loose at 4 hours and 45 minutes, and my feet were cleated in the pedals, and the bike fell, and I smashed my pelvis into the pedals, and I blacked out. And I woke up, and Chris was saying, I need to take you to the hospital. And I said, don't take me to the hospital. They'll tell me I can't race. And I kept visualizing that I was going to do it. And I went into work the next day, and I had to sit on a physio ball. And my doctor, my sports medicine doctor, Dr. Douglas Stoddard, he made me a ring that I could physically sit on, this O-ring, so I could sit and do my trainings. And two things happened. The first thing was Deborah Kay said to me, she was one of my personal training clients, she said, Susan, why didn't you take time off? And she goes, oh, I know, because you don't have residual income. When are you going to sit down and talk to me about network marketing? That was 2001. And the next thing that happened, I flew to Malaysia, and it was so painful. I flew from Toronto to Chicago, Chicago to Seoul, Korea. I had a 14-hour layover in Seoul, then I flew from Seoul to Kuala Lumpur, and then another layover about 5 hours, and then from there to Langkawi Island. And by the time I got there was so much swelling, I was literally walking just down the street straddled. And I went to get on my bike, and it was so painful. I saw stars, and I believed in my heart that I was somehow going to still do this. I couldn't even sit on a bike. I met a guy who was an amputee athlete from California. His name was Paul, and he didn't have one leg. It was amputated above the knee. And he said, Susan, a bunch of us are going for dinner tonight at the Sheraton in Langkawi. Would you like to come? And I didn't know anyone, but a little voice told me, you know what, you need to go. And we were sitting there in the Sheraton, and there's, you know, monkeys going through the trees, and there's this beautiful, beautiful room, and in this big circle, and there's one seat vacant beside me, and a guy says, my friend is going to come and sit there. I said, great. His friend comes. We start a conversation. I said, where are you from? He said, Denver. I said, what do you do? He said, I'm an ER doc. I told him what had happened. He said, well, Susan, I actually happen to travel with lidocaine. I'll freeze your pelvis, and if it works and you can ride your bike and we can get Marcaine, you can do the race. It will stay for 5 hours. And so we did it. We got the Marcaine. We had to go to the hospital. It was an all-Muslim hospital. I had to wait several hours to get a female doctor to come and do this. We got the Marcaine on the morning of the race. He froze my pelvis. During the race, I got multiple flat tires. I ended up doing the last 6 miles of the bike on the rims. If you're a cyclist, you know that's really tough. The temperatures were 47 degrees. A third of the field did not finish. The swelling came out before the bike end, and several water stations ran out of water. And I remember a friend of mine, Richard, had said, Susan, whatever you do, don't walk. except during the aid stations. Every, 2 miles you can do that. And so I managed to finish, and I finished 8th in the pro division of the Ironman. It was the last time I ever raced the Ironman. And you know what, Jeffrey, here's the thing. I firmly believe in these strategies that I taught tonight, that what it all comes down to is a decision, and we have to make a decision. You have to make a decision. Stop being a victim. Yes, you may be struggling. End it now. Stop owning that struggle and make a decision to succeed. Make a decision to circumvent what is going on with you. Visualize that outcome that you're seeking, and just know, if it's possible for Jeffrey to get sober and become a multimillionaire from the place that he was, if it's possible for me to go from that place of MS and losing everything to becoming a millionaire in network marketing, to doing an Ironman a year after my diagnosis with a fractured pelvis, to be able to run my 10th marathon when I'm defying the odds to find my soulmate. If it's possible for us to do those things, it's possible for you. So stop playing small. Some of you know you're playing small. I want you to stop playing small. And I want you to go on my Facebook fan page tonight. As I said, I'm not selling anything. You can check me out on SusanSly.com, and I have some great $3.97 meditations that you can download. They'll put you in an alpha state. They're beautiful. Take you like 60 seconds to download it. Go on my Facebook page, and I want you to make a declaration, it's Susan Sly Live, that you're going to stop playing small right now. You're going to play big in your life, and I want you to write out your goals. I want to see them. I'm going to read each and every one of them, and I'll be a stand for you. So with that, Jeffrey, I'm going to go ahead and pass the call back to you.
Susan, tears are in my eyes. That's the most compelling athletic story of I've heard in a long time. That was really, really empowering to hear what you overcome just to finish but just to get there, and the mindset of just woman over circumstance. That was just every person on this call should be crying just for this, the compassion and the will and the desire. It was powerful. It's the best. I've never heard you tell a story quite like that, Susan. I've heard it, but I never heard the depth of it. I remember you shared the stage with Jim Rohn at a couple of events and shared that in about 2007 and 8, but you told the whole story. I mean, my clock stopped. It just was so good. It was so real and so raw. I know what it's like to do things like that. And so many people, they quit before they even get to the finish line, and they wonder why they don't reach the land of promise. I told one of my clients today, Susan, I said, stop talking so big and talk smaller. Set clearly defined short-term goals. Have a clear plan to pay off your mortgage. If you don't make the first $100 payment on top of your mortgage payment, you'll never pay your mortgage off. And it's not being debt-free, it's being free of debt that's so important that we learn how to do so we can live prosperously. And Susan, this is the best call I've ever hosted in my 17 years, and I've had Jim Rohn on this call twice, Mark Victor Hansen 3 times, John Assaraf 3 times, you many times. The great Alexis Romano has been on this call. He just gave the best 10 points I've ever heard. So, Susan, you and I have an event coming up on May 9th and 10th. We are sharing the stage with Alexis Romano, John Assaraf, Chris Schaar, up-and-coming superstar C.G. Siddons, yourself. We have a whole panel of mompreneurs that are absolutely transforming network marketing and direct sales, May 9th and 10th. And you've agreed to speak 2 days, and I know you'll be there graciously taking pictures, signing autographs, sharing your products and services. I just want you to know how much your friendship means to me. You are not only the best client, best producer, but you're the best human being I've ever met. So I just want to thank you from the center of my heart for being on this call tonight. You are just a remarkable woman.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And thank you for being my best friend. I love you, and I'm grateful every day for you in my life. And to everyone listening tonight, the final thing that I want to say is that, sometimes it's tough. Don't let anyone tell you that it's going to be easy every day, because it's not. But you can transcend it. You really, really can. And Jeff and I would love if you would share his podcast with everyone you know who's going through some kind of challenge tonight, because I believe I have a vision for the future where people who have gone through circumstances like yourself and myself, Jeff, we rise up and we create a culture of people who are the new freedom fighters, and I believe it's already happening. So, yeah.
You know, Susan, direct sales and network marketing, the face of it has really changed in the last 5 years. And, you know, we got to share the stage with the great Jim Rohn in the last event he ever spoke, January 2008. That's the last time he ever spoke in Dallas, Texas. And just think, that was 7 years, or, God, that was 6 years ago. But just look what has happened in network marketing. There's the whole younger, there's the young person revolution that's going on. I mean, people 18 to 35 are absolutely coming into the industry and becoming six-figure income earners in 2-3 years. Then we have corporate America and corporate Canada, where it's just not happening for people anymore. They can't make a living on $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year. I mean, we have what they require. But the mindset that you have to be a business owner requires cultivation. To reap the harvest, you have to plant. And I see so many people, they get dis, which means not, they get not of courage, discouraged very quickly, and if they don't get instant gratification, they pack it in. I saw the great Susan Sly that you heard tonight. I got to watch her in her first company with my client, Deborah Kay. She was not a success. I watched her have some success in a startup company that was an antioxidant juice company that had a lot of potential, and the company went out of business when Susan had just started to make 4 figures a month. I watched her lose her whole downline. I watched you go through what you've been through to get you where you are, and then you hired me in 2004, and at the end of 2004, and you shared the stage, started speaking at my events, and I've just watched your whole transformation. I watched Carolyn Rodriguez. I watched Mara Lorenz. I watched some of these women that you brought to events who went on to become millionaires, Susan, and everyone on this call could do it. I watched Alexis Romano do it. In less than 3 years, I'm watching women all over the United States. They're just bringing to the table what is required to be that businesswoman. And Susan, your content tonight was unequivocally the best I've ever heard.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And for those of you who are contemplating coming to New Jersey, you definitely want to be there. In the 2 days that I'm speaking, one day I'm going to train on organization, and I love that. With so many kids, it's like the Brady Bunch. I'm going to share my insider secrets. There's a lot of people who teach on organization. I have a different approach, really, when we have a lot of different bodies in this household. So I'm going to give you the goods there. And the other day, I'm going to be talking about something I'm quite passionate about, is really health. And I do come from a background in health. I'm actually going back to school right now to become a doctor of homeopathic medicine. And so I had started that before I got sick, and I've gone back just recently to finish it. And I'm going to be talking about health from the perspective of looking at ourselves holistically, and what are some of the things we can do as we're out there producing to not, you know, have it cost the thing that's most valuable to us. So it's going to be an amazing event. And for those of you who are already posting on Facebook, thank you. I love that you're making the declarations, Bridget and Janet and Stacy and Margo, that you're going to stop playing small. So I want to hear from all of you. Thank you.
And you can find more information about that event and purchase tickets at www.goldenmastermind.com. Up in the right-hand corner on the homepage, it says Millionaire Blueprints. Susan, we have 5 tickets left. They're the 297 tickets. They're front row tickets. We have 5 of those left. We have general admission tickets left. We have seating for 500 people at that event. We're about half sold out. So if you're considering buying a ticket, you know, you want to get one soon, because the last few weeks are when most of them sell. So do yourself a great service. Purchase one of those last 5 front row tickets for $297. You'll get preferred seating. You'll also get the opportunity to meet some of the speakers and get your pictures and autographs taken. So, Susan, thank you for being our guest tonight. This call is officially recorded. I'll be back here next Tuesday night. Folks, follow what Susan said. Go to her fan page, like her fan page. You can find more about Susan on her website, stepintoyourpower.com, Susan Sly, and her official fan page. Susan, have a great evening. Thank every one of you for being on tonight's call. I'm going to open up the line, say goodnight and goodbye. Good night, Susan.
Good night, Jeffrey. I love you. Good night, everyone.
Good night, Susan.
Good night, everyone. Good night, everyone. Thank you very much. Have a great evening, and I will see you on next Tuesday's call, and I will be in Delaware this weekend. Have a great evening. There are tickets still available for the event in Delaware at goldenmastermind.com. Under events, the drop-down will be to More Hearts and Talent. Have a great evening.